my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russell
Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella. And we're both actually here, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Jay Felicio, and I have a guesting on the Trade Addicts Prod problem.
Right? And it's really funny. Like, that's why I put it in the tweet. I'm like, he's going to be here again. Again. Yeah. What's really funny, like, it really is absolutely Jay's fault of, like, the string of guests we had that, honestly, we didn't know most of them. And they all were awesome. Like... So, like, really, we're just like, Jay, holy crap, you're on every 3 weeks. We should probably try, you know, to actually get you to not just be like, All right, Jay, we can't think of anybody. You're coming on.
Yeah, you know.
So, well, we'll get to me and Rocky's relationship in a minute. But hey, everybody, and welcome to session 273 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we will, and we have it in forever, at least me and Rocky,
yeah.
Because we're fighting, okay?
We just
don't like it, right? Like, hey, Rocky, I can't make it. Cool. Oh, crap. Russ, I can't make it. All right, cool. Hey, Rock. Sorry, bud.
My internet's out, and I have to do a solo show on Thursday.
I know. That sucked. That's all I have. We fight between... us, Verizon, and Google, where really we didn't want to fight. They just wouldn't take the blame. And we still don't know whose problem it is because we literally got new everything. Wires coming into the house, new router, new everything. And our internet works. We changed our router's name to Verizon Sucks and we called it a
day. One of those situations where everybody's saying, no, it's the other guy's fault. You have to check with the other company.
Yep. And finally, we just said, okay, cool. Come out and tell us that we're wrong, that it's not you then. So they come out. Okay, it's not wrong, but I could replace this for you. I could do this for you. And I'm like, yep, just do it. Go ahead. That's fine. And all of a sudden we have internet. We're not even trying to figure out whose problem it was anymore. We're just like, no, we're not fighting. It's working. We're happy. And man, I did a solo show. I've never done that before. The last time I did that was Trade Addicts Pod episode 1. And that was... so bad.
Like, I did it once on Junkies. Like,
was that still available online? Like, is FYF guys Simon and JL have some early stuff that is conveniently hidden from the public that nobody. I can still see it, but it's okay. You know, maybe I need to switch that and make it where the public can see that.
I think I have never hidden my personality, any aspect of it whatsoever. I have always been insanely honest. With every show I've ever been on, every person that's ever asked me a question, in what world do you think I have the energy or care to hide stuff? Come on now.
It's funny. I remember for episode 200, I went back and played a little bit of it on the show.
Yeah.
And you listen to it, it sounds like a different person. It's insane.
It was because I talked in my normal depressed person's voice. I stopped and paused. A lot. And what was worse, I edited as I talked. So I was like, not bad, do it again. Not bad, do it again. Like, I didn't like record and then like, no, let me just record that again. No, I stopped. I went back. I erased. Like, it was, I am surprised after that, I didn't just stop.
There's certain times too. It sounds like you're doing what you believe a podcaster should sound like. Just like your inflection on certain things and stuff. Like it's just it's wild to listen to.
It was me trying to sound interesting. It's not what I always do from the very beginning. I didn't want to just do what a podcaster does, but I realized that my voice can get very boring if I'm just talking like this. And first of all, people will just fall asleep and not give a shit about what I'm saying if I'm just talking like this. But I was still at that point faking the excitement of it because I didn't know how to talk excitedly, especially back then when it was not face to face. Like we were still just like on Skype, and I'm not a person who talks on the phone in general. So I wasn't good at that. And then we're not terrible now. That's all I have to say. Like I'm not going to say we have gotten good or perfected anything, but we are not as bad as we used to be. And I call that a victory. That's moral victory, maybe, but a victory is a victory.
It's good enough for me.
Good enough for me. And good enough for you, Jay. I don't care what you say.
That's fine. No, it's not, but that's okay.
Yeah, you keep coming back. That's all that really matters. Again, it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. You're still here. And we have news. We have news. That happened, like stuff happened before our show. Like, I love that this trend is going this direction. Right. We had years where it's just like, we've had times where stuff came out like 11:30 when we're done recording news would break. It'd be like, all right, now you're just messing with us. Like, but no. Okay. So let's start at the top and let's start with DeAndre Hopkins for some reason choosing to go to the Titans. I don't get it. Because, I mean, at first he said he wanted to go to contender, in which case he went to the wrong team at this point. And while long-term, I love the fact that Treylon Burks is now going to be learning how to play wide receiver from DeAndre Hopkins. Like, that is, like, heart-poundingly happy. But, you know, there goes that breakout this year. You know, if we were hoping for one. Okay. Well, let's start, because I haven't talked to Rocky in forever, and I feel like I'm supposed to do that, and everybody knows Jay at this point. We definitely don't have to do the interview thing, and we'll let you do your stuff later anyway. We started talking, so I'm just going to keep going into the show.
That works.
What do we do? Someone asked me, is Hopkins it was funny. Buy was never even an option for this person. Is he a sell or a hold? And I was just like, and I was just like, honestly, I have no freaking idea. So Rocky, how do you feel right now about DeAndre Hopkins in the Tennessee Titans offense world?
Can I just give the same answer? I have no friggin' idea. No. I think I would say he's probably a hold. I don't think anybody's increasing Hopkins' value off of signing with the Titans. I mean, I guess he's the number one there, but there's probably a lot of places he could have gone and been the number one, even at his age. Yeah.
How often do you want a wide receiver to go to the Patriots? I wanted him to go to the Patriots, and he didn't.
I wouldn't have liked that either. But
oh, see, give him on one side, so Juju has the slot and the other side to play around, and I'd be thrilled.
Sadly, he actually is a better quarterback with the Tennessee Titans, I believe, but.
It's a different kind of I don't hear anybody disagreeing with you, Rocky.
So yeah, I mean, he'll probably get fed. They're probably not going to be a very good team. They're going to run a lot, but I don't think their defense just looks that good this year. So I think they could be he could get decent volume there. And I think as long as Tannehill isn't awful. He's serviceable. Okay. He can feed a DeAndre Hopkins, I believe. Like on a Derek Carr type level, feeding a, you know, Devontae Adams or a Amari Cooper in the past. So I don't really want to sell him because I don't think you're getting anything more than you were, and I don't think you were getting much to begin with. So if I have DeAndre Hopkins already on my roster, I'd say he's a hold. I'll just take the points. Probably be a wide receiver too this year.
What about you, Jay?
Lean a little more towards a sell. I agree with what Rocky's saying, but I feel like anytime you have a guy like this, you know, previously who has been a wide receiver one year after year, one of my favorite players just in general. I think he's up there. A handful of guys you could have considered the best just actual wide receivers in the NFL. He's 31 years old, going to a run first team, a new team. You know, traditionally wide receivers struggle when they go to a new team. And I just think I'm not that excited about it. You know, I think people are thinking, you know, it's going to be fine. But I mean, I would not be surprised to see Will Levis under center before long. And I don't know how that's going to look. You know, it traditionally the younger guys are going to work with the guys who are on the second team. And now, you know, Burks isn't on the second team, but I could see them conjuring up some sort of chemistry, I guess you could say. And I like the attention is going to be drawn away from Burks. I think it really hurts more of a Chig Okonkwo more than it does Treylon Burks. I think that the ceiling is gone, like you said, Russ, for that breakout, that, you know, potential, you know, top 15 finish. But I think you could see a little more consistency out of Treylon Burks, and I still think you're going to see those boom weeks as well.
I was just going to say, I know there's a lot of thought out there that Will Levis could start, but do you really think that the team that just paid to sign DeAndre Hopkins is jumping at the chance to stick Will Levis in the lineup? Like, I think they're going to be mathematically eliminated before Ryan Tannehill is.
Well, that's just it. Are they jumping to do it? No. Is it super far-fetched by week 10? No.
Tannehill's not super far-fetched, but you might have to be 2-8. Like, if they're 4-6, I think Tannehill's starting.
He's able to stay on the field.
My only redraft league is the Scott Fishbowl, which means I still don't remember to look at bye weeks when I'm drafting. I drafted Mahomes and Stafford, who both have week 10 byes. So I'm like, well, crap. Let me draft another quarterback. And then I drafted Ryan Tannehill for some reason. So all I need him to make it past week 10. That's what I need right now.
I thought you were about to say that Tannehill also has a week
bye. Oh, no, I made sure of that. And Frank's in the chat pointing out Titans have a bye in week 7. And that's usually that's sometimes where you see that changeover. That's too early. I'm going to cling happening. And hope and pray that that's too early. Because I also do agree with what Rocky said. You don't sign DeAndre Hopkins if you're not going to try and keep winning.
And Vrabel's not the type of guy that's going to just, you know, throw in the towel early. He's going to fight to the very end.
Yeah. And
they kept a 30-year-old Derrick Henry on their roster, despite some rumors that they might not, too.
Well, they might not have been able to get what they wanted for him. True. You know, like, I love their GM is the ex-49ers player personnel guy. And the Niners have fielded a very good roster for the past couple of years. So I have somewhat faith they know what they're doing now, which you could never have said in the past about Tennessee. So, like, I'm feeling all right about it. And
their division's winnable.
I mean,
Jacksonville's the favorite, but
I'm crossing my fingers that it is not. And that's because Jacksonville will just be good enough to not let Tennessee's 5-6 wins give them the ability to almost win the division.
But if Jags win it at 10-7, that's going to keep everybody in it for a while.
Yeah. And that's probably what's going to happen. And that's going to hopefully keep Tannehill in at week 10. Again, I don't care after that. I need that bye week replacement. And if Mahomes gets injured, I'm losing anyway. So it doesn't even matter.
They're like 15 wildcard teams anyway. So everybody's in it until the second to last week.
Okay. So I guess my question is, I feel like even before this, before like the end of last season, you wanted to get a first if you were moving Hopkins off of your team because it was playoff time, but chances are that really wasn't happening. Or even throughout this non-point scoring season when there was the rumors that he was getting cut or all of that stuff, he seemed to be going for around a second round pick. I mean, is sending a 24 second for Hopkins outlandish on a team that you're competing with? And, like, let's say it's yours, no less, also. So you're hoping it's the 212. Like, to me, I would do that for – because, again, like, you made the very good point, Jay, of, like, he's 31 on a new team and might have a young quarterback. But, like, if there's a wide receiver that will make me say I don't care, it's DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's beyond – it's really, like, someone put out that picture with, like, Julio Jones, Randy Moss, and Andre
Johnson.
I think
it was Dave Kluge that did that.
Was, you know, all in their Titans jerseys. I'm like, it's a little different. Those guys were much more on a downswing than DeAndre.
They were Hopkins. Definitely already in the twilight of their careers.
I was absolutely trying to just find a very nice way of saying, because I know there's one person specifically like, oh, it's Randy Moss, it doesn't matter, and I need everyone to like me so I can say something negative. But yeah, so like DeAndre Hopkins is absolutely at a better part in his career that the rest of them were when they went, regardless of age.
Before I forget this, and this is the perfect show to talk about this, sorry to interrupt you, but
no,
that year I picked up Randy Moss. He got traded to the Titans. I traded him, and I don't remember for what. Maybe I think it was like Vincent Jackson or something like that when he was holding out.
Oh, what a good name.
And then Randy Moss retired. Like literally like the next day after I traded him. I will never forget that. I was with one of my best friends in the world. He was so pissed. But that's just anytime somebody says Randy Moss on the Titans, that's what pops into my head.
I did that. I made him retire. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so I still stick around at like second because, you know, spoiler. Actually, no, I released it today already, so it's not a spoiler alert. I put out Dynasty Wall Street. Bosch and I did a show for the first time in like 2 months, and we talked about Hopkins, and in a dynasty trade calculator, he's worth 2 seconds. And it's just like, and what it came down to was like, if they're both in the later half of a, like if one of them's mine and I feel like I'm going to win and the other one is another playoff team from last year, and you know, they don't look like they're falling apart, I maybe would like, okay, Hopkins in a third for 2 seconds and call it a deal. I think I'd be okay with both sides of that, depending on which direction my team was going. And I, again, like if I'm going to be okay with a wide receiver being how old he is on a new team with either Ryan Tannehill or a dude that at least knows he has a cannon, why are you throwing if Bryce Young isn't a cannon? That will probably be forever one of my favorite things about the combine. So I'm okay with it. I think. Well, I guess we'll talk about it a little later also. The next one, which I love what Rocky said the second I brought it up, is that Saquon nor Josh Jacobs have a contract signed. So franchise tag, hopefully, here we come and not 10 weeks of a holdout. But the second we said Saquon, Rocky comes in. He's just – say it for me, Rocky.
He's playing. He's playing week one. He's not holding out. Nobody ever really holds out except Le'Veon Bell.
And like, that was long ago enough.
Yeah.
That the league has changed.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen. He's gonna play. He doesn't wanna lose a year of his career. He doesn't wanna lose, he's still gonna lose money if he holds out. I mean, if he plays the last 6 games, he can vest for free agency. But yeah, they're just not going to – again, the whole thing is they don't make enough money because their careers are too short. He's not going to lose a year at 25, 26, and Jacobs isn't going to lose a year at 24, 25. I'll bet anything they're both playing week one. Somebody – might have even been Frank. Somebody in the Trade Addicts chat said – might have been somebody else, but about who's gonna who plays first or something like that between Jacobs and Saquon. I said, whose game scheduled earlier week one? That's who's playing first.
All right, hold on. I'm pulling up. I have Trade Addicts 3 open, and I have Saquon in that league and Jacobs in that league, by the way, which I wonderfully noticed as we were talking before the show started. I want to see if I'm going to trade you Saquon since you are so just comfortable.
I don't know that I'm paying 2 firsts for him, Russ. So.
No, you have Devonta Smith, and I want Devonta Smith on every single one of my teams.
I did listen to that Wall Street, which also has Saquon on it. So.
Yeah, it does. I want Devonta Smith. Yeah, and I also did, by the way, say I would still pay a 24 and a 25 firsts for Saquon right now because I also do believe he's going to play. And if the dude plays, he's Saquon. He's going to be really good. Like, he was, I think, what was it, like RB6, I think it was last year, 4 or 6. I can't remember what I said already because, man, that was almost 12 hours ago. How the hell am I supposed to remember that? But if he's playing, he's going to be healthy. NFL players can't half-ass playing football. It is both a mental thing and a thing that multiple athletes have said. When you play not to get injured is when you get injured. If you half-ass it, you're going to find a way to get yourself hurt. So if he's out there, I think he's out there, and I think he's going to play. So,
yeah, Saquon was RB5 in points per game.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. Like, I'm very, very curious to see where this goes. And I know there's nothing they can do to the next collective bargaining agreement, but
it's 2030, right? I think.
Is it that far away? I don't even know.
I think it is.
But, like, even, like, it's really fun when, you know, the NFL starts mirroring Dynasty and, like, analytics of fantasy football players realized long ago what running backs are, you know, long term and all of that stuff. And they finally started catching on with multiple running backs, not overpaying anyone, no real workhorses anymore. And Melvin Gordon finally came out and he's just like, look, this is how they're treating us. We are a major part of offenses, yet they're treating us like we're replaceable. Sorry, but you kind of are.
Le'Veon Bell is the one who accidentally did that when, and he, what people forget too is he said he was going to hold out the year before and then wound up not holding out and then did it a second time. And then that's when James Conner showed up and showed the world that, hey, you know what? Maybe we don't need to pay these huge contracts of these running backs because we got this guy who just stepped in and, you know, did A-okay. So, yeah, I'm with you guys. I wouldn't be surprised to see them miss a game or two. I don't think it's going to be a whole season-long thing, maybe just to make a point. The one thing I will say, and Frank said it in the chat, this does kind of feel different. If they, you know, if Jacobs, if Barkley and all the other running backs, I don't know what, you know, running back sit out or something like that, then maybe something, you know, something gets done. But I don't know. Something does feel a little different. I'm with you guys for the most part. I do feel like they're going to play the majority of the season, but you know, I feel like it's coming to a head and there might be some drastic action.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, that's what Bosch said on Wall Street also. He's just like, maybe if they stage a walkout, like, all the running backs just...
Hey, then my guy LaVisca Chenault, you know, will have somewhere to play, so...
Well, it's really funny because, like, what I brought up was, like, we almost got with Jimmy Graham when he was going for the franchise tag, and he's like, no, I want to be tagged as a wide receiver.
I remember that.
Like, that was the start. Like, that could have been it. Or, like, if Christian McCaffrey would have gotten tagged... Like, we could have found a way to have gotten rid of positions at that point, because what the hell are you going to do for Christian McCaffrey, who probably has more receptions than most of the receivers drafted, not only his year, but the year before him? You know, like, but that's not really what we're here for. So Saquon, like, so I guess, Jay, let me ask you, because if Rocky's rolling confident that they're showing up, that it's not going to be really... Are you worried enough that you're going to try and move them off of your team, or are you okay enough that, like, okay, they missed a game, but still let me go see if there's a discount? Like, how are you feeling about these running backs for fantasy purposes?
I would look more towards trying to get the discount because, like I said, my perspective is even if they miss a game or two, you know, running backs, especially any player in the NFL, is going to miss a game or two due to injury. You know, so them missing a few games isn't that big of a deal, especially if you're a contender. I would prefer, honestly, Jacobs to Barkley long-term in Dynasty, just a few years younger and, you know, a little less tread on the tires. This year, I still would prefer Barkley.
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing anything about it. Like, there's a trade that happened recently, and I'll talk about it later, and I was just like, all right, let me see if I could just, like, kind of swap Barkley and Chubb just to, you know, see what happens, and that got declined pretty quickly. But I don't know. Like, I'm still gonna say I'm worried. But let's move on.
Wait, did you see Frank's question in the chat? Saquon Jacobs or like / Jacobs or Kenneth? I assume that's Kenneth Walker.
Oh, Saquon or Jacobs, very, very, very easily.
That's what even I
if I'm not too. Getting a full season. I'd rather have the chance of 12 games of Saquon / Jacobs versus 16, 17 games of Walker.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not super confident in Walker at all.
So. Even before Charbonnet, I was not thrilled with Walker. So now with Charbonnet.
Yeah, I'm with you guys.
So before Rocky so rudely interrupted me, which if you notice was part of the reasons we're fighting. Jay, do you want to do trades or listener questions first?
Let's go listener questions first.
Cool. Oh, sweet. Yeah, we got a new engineer, which, first of all, I love that I don't think they've ever asked a question that was only been one tweet.
No, I know.
And they're just usually pretty good. At noob engineer underscore, I have one quote unquote main league where I have fun and die on hills. I was lucky enough to win last year with that strategy, but now I have been having fun and dying on some new hills. I doubled down on Christian McCaffrey and Hurts last year, and it paid off. Same. Yes. Now I traded them away for Burrow and Higgins. Yes. Because I'm dying on the hill that Burrow scorches the earth this year and wins MVP. I'm down with that. I couldn't get Jamar Chase because his manager would rather die than give him up. Just kick him out of the league and have someone as a, you want to take this team over? You just got to trade me Chase. That's not cheating, right? No, not at all. I was curious, what is your hill, one hill you will die on this offseason? Oh, and also I asked what people's comfort movie was, like when they're sick or if they're not feeling well. And Step Brothers. No SFB for you. Oh, that's sad. Next time. Yes, next time.
Step Brothers. Get in the Mirror League. Is it too late to get in the Mirror Leagues?
I'm not sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all up and running. Okay. I had to think about it. So Step Brothers, first of all, is fantastic. And the
one
reason,
of my favorite movies of all time.
Recently, I actually, before I go to sleep, I always watch like a comfort show. You know, I usually cycle between Avatar The Last Airbender, The Good Place, and then like all of those Michael Schur shows, the Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Parks and Rec.
Those are my go-to.
Yeah. You know, Scrubs, 30 Rock. And what I did was, I almost said I made the mistake. It's not a mistake whatsoever, but I watched all of Batman The Animated Series. And then I finished that and I'm like, all right, well, let's go to Superman The Animated Series. All right, well, then let's go to Justice League. All right, well, then let's go to Justice League Unlimited. So I'm on Justice League Unlimited right now. But the reason I bring that up is because those, all of the DC shows are on HBO Max. And so is...
Excuse me. It's Max.
It's just Max now.
Yeah.
So, oh, I loved the joke. HBO Max goes to Max and someone says, all right, your turn, Peacock.
I have not heard that, but that's pretty good.
Yeah. I cannot claim credit for it because it's way too witty even for me. But yeah, I had that exact reaction. Throw your head back giggling like a schoolboy.
Absolutely.
But there are two movies on there that I go to like, all right, I'm falling asleep. I don't want to, because I actually watch these shows like, and when I'm about to fall asleep, I'll change to something else. Dodgeball and Step Brothers are both on Max right now. And those are two that I just go through. But that's to fall asleep. Ooh, Roman in the chat says Community. That is another
that's
one.
That's another good one.
Yes, I love Community.
But like when I'm sick, it's straight to Disney Plus for me because I have on my watch list Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Nightmare Before Christmas, Big Hero 6, and The Princess Bride.
I was going to mention The Princess Bride is one of the movies that I would like.
If I'm sick or just in a bad mood, or like I can cycle through those four movies. Oh, and Robin Hood, the Disney's Robin
Hood. Men in Tights.
Well, that too, but that is not on Disney Plus. I actually watched that with my kids recently. I love it. we were talking before about the setups we have in our rooms. Like behind me is my Higgins stuff, but over there I got a framed, signed Mel Brooks silent movie poster. Love that man. So yeah. Men in Tights, watching my kids watch Spaceballs was like one of the happiest moments.
Oh man, yeah, my kids are just getting old enough to start enjoying the same stuff. My son's really into superheroes, so started the Spider-Man the Animated Series and X-Men the Animated Series, more on the Marvel side of things, but he does like Batman. I need to get him into the Batman the Animated Series as well, and that's been a lot of fun. For my comfort movies, though, I've got a couple, I would say. Honestly, my go-to is probably a show, which would be – I'm going to go way back with The Simpsons. That's one that just – especially the, you know, seasons probably 3 through 7, the classic. I really – once they switched to HD, I kind of stopped watching, but I still – holds a place near and dear to my heart.
I remember the last episode I watched.
What was that?
Marge accidentally got a boob job.
I do remember that episode.
I almost said I was working at Fridays, but I was on the clock on Fridays sitting in a booth, not working because I hated being a waiter and watching The Simpsons. And I was just like, yeah, this show's been downhill for a couple of years. I can't do it anymore. Yeah. Marge accidentally got a boob job. I'm out.
Yeah.
But yeah, up till season 10 is very, very good.
Set the bar for all these other adult cartoons, yes. But that's another conversation for another day. I've got a couple as well for movies. Probably the first one that comes to mind is Dumb and Dumber. That's one that I could just continuously watch over and over. Step Brothers, Anchorman, pretty much anything Will Ferrell.
Yep.
I'm going to go a little sappy with one and go with The Notebook. That's another one too.
I have not seen that.
Let's end this right now. You need to go watch that. That's fantastic.
I'm not against movie. There's only one movie I go out of my way not to watch. I have never and will never see Titanic. And it's for the stupidest reason ever.
What's that?
We used to play roller hockey in the parking lot behind the movie theater that was right near our house and the movie theater we all worked at, because no movie was ever popular enough that people needed to park behind the movie theater. And then Titanic came out and we couldn't play hockey for months. So I hated Titanic and I've held a grudge against it ever since. And now it's just like a principle. Like, I can't watch it now.
He's done it this long. Like, he can't just give in now.
No.
You've seen Titanic, right, Jay?
Yes. Yep. But
yeah. Rose totally could have made room. Rose totally could have made room for
100%.
Jack.
100%. Yeah. But it was funny with the whole.
She let him die.
Yeah. Titanic just came on Netflix. And my wife was watching it with my nephew, and she sent me a text. She said, "You know, if we were in that situation, would you give me the door?" I said, "Of course, I would give you the door." Good answer. She said, "That's the correct answer."
You know who doesn't give that answer? Someone who's about to get divorced.
Yeah. Exactly. But I'll throw two more out there real quick: Pitch Perfect and Bridesmaids. Those are two of my absolute favorite movies.
See, it's funny, like Pitch Perfect is one of those movies like Bring It On and all those things where people men will call it guilty pleasure movies. And I think that's a stupid concept because you should never be ashamed of stuff you like. There's no
Hilarious. Both movies are hilarious.
They're fantastic. And even just to put it out there, all of those people are really good singers. Like that's them saying
I know.
Really talented. And Adam Devine's hilarious. All right, Rocky, before we get to the fantasy football, let's just finish up with the movie stuff.
For me, when you said this question, what I kind of think of is movies I love, funny helps, and nostalgia is part of it for me, which is why all mine are super old, from the 80s. Princess Bride would be, actually one of them I think is from the 70s. Princess Bride would be one of them. It's super quotable. Basically all these are super quotable for me. Yeah. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I love. Yes, you can watch that over and over. I literally can recite that movie. And the next movie I can too, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
I think we've had this talk, but I'm just like, you fast forward Cheer Up Charlie, right?
Yes. And it was so funny. We were just talking about this in my house the other day. My daughter was talking to my mom and she was saying he does not watch that. He will not watch. It's completely meaningless to the entire rest of the movie. And the song sucks and it's boring.
My family, we use it as a term for that in other movies. Like, what's that one song? There's like a song in every single musical that just sort of takes you out of it and it just doesn't need to be there and it's boring.
Yes.
Like, we literally call that the Cheer Up Charlie of that movie. Like, that's what we do.
That's so funny. And I think I've said this probably on the pod before, but always the Gene Wilder original and the Johnny Depp movie is an abomination in my opinion.
Yes.
It was awful.
Are you interested in seeing the prequel that's getting ready to come out?
I'll watch it.
I don't, after what happened with the Depp Burton movie, I don't have high hopes, but yeah, I'll probably watch it.
I mean, Burton used to mean something. It has not in a very, very long time. So like even when I saw that Burton was making it, and I'm just like, okay, whatever. Don't really. So I'll give anything with almost anything with Johnny Depp. Well, back then at least I would give anything with Johnny Depp a chance. And it's just like, okay, no.
Yeah. What I said too, like when I saw I love Johnny Depp, but I thought it was an awful Wonka.
Yeah.
The great thing about Gene Wilder's Wonka is he's like subversively creepy, and Johnny Depp's Wonka is overtly creepy.
Yes. And it's very two different, emotionally abusive childhood, branches where, Wonka at least wants to give to the world. He wants to do something, but he's going to manipulate the hell out of all of you on the way.
Yes.
And then Dev was just terrifying.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like the whole thing with his dad being a dentist and him still having those chompers of teeth that were terrifying. Okay, hold on. Roman in the chat says he can watch any Seinfeld rerun. Huge Bob's Burgers. Bob's Burgers is very, very good. And Archer. I can't believe I forgot Archer. That's another show that is just so good, where not like the writing is so on point and they just the perfect casting for everything. It's just so good.
Both of those shows, Bob's Burgers and Archer, I know if I would watch them, I would love them. It is my humor, so many of those. Right Archer, up my alley.
Especially but is I, that for me. Yeah, I've never seen it. I know I would love it.
And well, and you know, you're talking about your random things, like with your why you won't watch Titanic. Mm-hmm. I can't watch those for some odd reason. The sound of John H. Benjamin's voice makes me want to jump out a window.
How like, dare
I,
you?
I know it's an iconic, but I don't know what it is. I don't like him. I don't know why. I have no reason. It's just one of those things.
He was literally labeled the man who's turned down the most work ever.
Really?
Because of that voice.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
You probably heard one thing too many times and it just bothered the hell out of you. And now it's everything.
It's like nails on a chalkboard to me for some reason. And I
can't. Well, yeah, then you will never like those two shows.
Right. But I know the humor. Like, I've seen people that talk, you know, yeah. Simon is a big Bob's Burgers fan and talks about it. And I know I would love the shows if I could just get past that. I can't.
But that's a lot to get past. All right. Let's get to fantasy football.
Oh, we're talking fantasy football tonight.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I do want to first say, like, to go back to this, you know, I love, you know, Rocky and I were both riding the Hurts bandwagon right into last season. And it's Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, I actually traded for Christian McCaffrey in a couple of leagues, which me trading for a high-end running back means you know I'm in, because I hate running backs and I ain't really paying up for running backs unless they're Saquon Barkley. But, I mean, besides getting Higgins, because hashtag Clem is a big wide receiver, which I'm like ashamed I didn't say that 16 times when we were talking about DeAndre Hopkins for the first 20 minutes of the show. But like, everyone has always, after every season of Burrow's career so far, all right, well, his touchdowns are going to regress. His percentage is going to get lower. He's not going to throw as many. No, I think this is just what he is. He's good with very, very good pass catchers and is in an offense that is good for him. I don't think this is regressible. I think this might be the mean. This might be the average. In which case, I'm here for that. I wish I had more Burrow. I don't think I have any. Like, I wish I had some Burrow. And then, of course, like the two leagues, I have the ammo to get him. Brian Haar has him in both, and he won't trade me Burrow ever. But Jay, is there a hill you're ready to just climb up, plant your flag, and not let go until, well, ever? Your bones will be there holding onto that flag.
I know everybody's going to think I'm going to say LaVisca Chenault because I've always loved the guy.
Well, no, see, that's not really a flag, though. That's just, this is a tattoo on your chest, like next to your heart. Like, we get that. That's not the same thing.
No regrets about LaVisca Chenault.
No regrets. I would probably have to say Deontay Johnson. I think that he's not getting anywhere near as enough credit as he should. He's due for some touchdown regression this year. He was still, I think he was like top 15 or so for, I got some notes actually. I just wrote them up a little bit.
Nerd.
Yeah, I know. Doing a little writing. Let me see. I think he was, like, the amount of targets he had, 8 out of the 10 top scoring wide receivers last year. Got it. Speaking of LaVisca Chenault caught more touchdowns than Deontay Johnson last year, if that tells you anything. So,
hey, the three of us combined caught the same amount.
That's exactly. So I'm still all in on Deontay Johnson. You know, it was only a couple of years ago that everybody had him in the conversation with the T. Higgins, the Jalen Waddles of the right. Right, that high end wide receiver too, top 15 wide receiver, and I think he gets back there this year.
How you like that, Rock?
Sure.
There's a tear forming in the corner of his eye.
I've always said that about Deontay Johnson. Yeah. Deontay Johnson has been my guy since like his rookie season. So, I don't really have anything to add. Jay said it. That's why I just said sure. Because like I think that was pretty much went without saying. That I don't. But yet I just rambled on for a minute there.
Do you got a Hill Rock?
I don't know if there's anything I feel super strongly about. But like I said before the show, that running back thing could be one of my hills, but Jacobs and Barkley. But the only two things I could kind of think about when I saw this question, J.K. Dobbins, I am very, very confident he's going to be much better this year. I've gone it over a million times, you know, the year removed from the injury and all that stuff, new offense. And then the other one that I keep saying also over and over on this podcast, that, and I'll amend it maybe that even if by some miracle, I believe he will start the season, but if some miracle he doesn't, I still believe Trey Lance is going to be the primary quarterback for the 49ers this year. Whether he's great, I don't know, but everyone is so sure Brock Purdy is the quarterback in my mind. Like to me, it's like 90%, 95% of the fantasy community is just assuming Brock Purdy's the quarterback.
Oh, Frank's in the chat. He's way there. Lance is starting over Purdy. It's not just you. I don't really have any. I don't think I have anything that's like far-fetched. Like I'm in on Fields. I think he's going to not run as much as he did last year, but I think that offense will be better. But that's not really a hill much. Like maybe the Giants offense, like I do think Danny Dimes will do at least what he did last year because he was playing out of his mind with, you know, Jay catching the ball pretty much because everyone else was hurt. But now
Richie James, picking up guys off
Isaiah waivers. Hodgins.
Yeah, Isaiah Hodgins coming in.
But like now they have, they didn't go and get like Jordan Addison or anything. But I mean, a healthy Wandale Robinson who was starting to look really good. If Paris Campbell's can stay healthy, I'm still in on Darren Waller like pretty hard. But again, I'm not going to assume I'm getting a full season out of him. I'm not that silly. You know, you still got fingers crossed Saquon in the back. Like they have enough good players that I think Daniel Jones will be top 10 fantasy again. Will he be top 10 like football quarterback? No. I mean, sorry.
No, but like, I'm not disagreeing.
he runs enough. That's didn't key. Turn the ball over nearly as much as he did last year. And he threw like 12 touchdowns because there was Isaiah Hodgins was the only guy catching them. Like, I do just think he will be very good in fantasy again. And I do still think Darren Waller will pull top 5 points per game-ish numbers. As you know, tight end again, that doesn't feel like the strongest hill in the world, but I think that's where I am right now. I'll have to think of something more exciting before the preseason comes around because by then it's like, all right, well, we have proof of things now, and that's not as exciting anymore.
Well, so believe it or not, when it comes to rushing, where was I? I was looking this up yesterday, too, or the other day, doing some research, had less than 60 yards less, excuse me, Daniel Jones had less than 60 less yards of rushing than both Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen. And actually now there is, and Lamar Jackson, he was within 60 of all three of those guys.
That is probably something people would not have guessed.
No clue. And I'm a Giants fan.
Now imagine if he just didn't trip over that 10 yard line.
That's not good.
Oh man, I saw
that was fun.
No, yeah, fun.
Wonderful.
Yeah, as much as the Evan Ingram, yeah, it was the same game as the Evan Ingram letting the ball bounce off of his hands. Well, which one you could say, but
yeah, which of those games? Yeah,
that's a tradition for Evan Ingram at this point. One of those wonderful videos where people like put like Street Fighter characters sweeping legs on. Yeah. I was watching a compilation, like my son, like I love it. My kids got phones, which. They're 8 and 10. I don't feel thrilled about it, but my favorite part is they just randomly send me YouTube videos, and it's so cute. My 8-year-old daughter randomly just sends me hugging and I love you gifs, and it's the cutest thing in the world. And then my son sends me cat videos. Like, this is great. Why was I afraid of this? But then he sent me something where it was just like a bunch of those, and I'm like, oh man, you know, I've never seen a Daniel Jones. Ah, there's Daniel Jones. And then like Ryu does the, you know, sweeps the leg and he falls.
Yep. And they did that with when Derrick Henry stiff arm Josh Norman too. There was a couple of those out there for that.
Oof. Oh man, you could do a compilation of just Derrick Henry ending people's careers because he did that a few times. Oh, what was that guy? He did it to someone on the Jaguars, right? Where he stiff-armed him into oblivion, then he went into IR like the next day about something unrelated, but still, it's just.
I think
weird.
It was a Thursday night game too. I think it was a long touchdown or something like that,
where Derrick Henry went for 200 something yards and three touchdowns or something. He stiff-armed a dude onto the IR. Of course he didn't, because I think he had a knee injury later in the game.
Did.
But still.
Let's just leave it there. He did.
All right, so next, at Jerry Shea FF. Oh, I asked about how you're feeling about your Scott Fishbowl team, and he says he hates his team. But he started off with Kelce, Tyreek, Tua, Russell Wilson, Chris Olave, Devonta Smith, David Montgomery, Deontay Johnson, and then he goes, it's a little rough with A.J. Dillon, Brock Purdy, Brandon Cooks, and Marvin Mims, but like that's a really good core of a team. I don't hate that team.
I hate the running backs, and I like A.J. Dillon, but I don't want to have to rely on A.J. Dillon and David Montgomery.
The last he showed was round 12. If he goes like round 13 through 18 of only drafting running backs,
and just take those shots, the Tajay Spears, what's his name for the Bengals? I can't think of his name.
Zach Evans?
Yeah, is that it? No, it's not Zach Evans. Is it
Chase the other guy? Brown?
Chase Brown.
Just take shots at guys like that, because if one of those guys hit, you are sitting pretty. The only thing I don't like is Purdy in the 10th, because you're starting 11 players and you're drafting your third quarterback before you have all your starters. So
I've done that also.
That's how I like to play Scott Fishbowl. I only have two quarterbacks, so that's
Took mine in the 10th or 11th. Guess who it was? My third quarterback.
Well, it could have been Kirk Cousins.
No.
Ryan Tannehill.
What? Trey Lance.
Yeah. Tannehill was my third quarterback.
Every time I was just about to take a third. Actually, I did take a third quarterback in the 21st round. Tom Brady. So, yeah.
I just need everyone to know, since you are not watching this, because we only got three people watching so far, I was just shaking my head. Just come on, man. And Jerry's comfort movie is Moneyball for some strange reason. That is strange. I'm going to put that out there. Like that is, it's a good movie.
That's one that I've never seen, and I'm a baseball fan.
That is very. I'm glad you have something, Jerry. I'm not trying to sound negative whatsoever, but it's just not my jam of a comfort movie. I'm glad you're happy. At FF Tommy B, which female athlete would you like to see play in the NFL? I mean, I feel like there's any woman on the U.S. women's national soccer team can be a kicker, I'm sure. I don't know many other female athletes, because I don't know any athletes outside of football players in general, you know, so I don't really know.
I'm going to go a little outside the box. Rocky, you want to go ahead?
Mine's just real quick, because I don't have a lot of reasoning behind it or anything, but just when I saw the question, there's one name that popped into my head, and she's in reality too short and probably too light to actually play in the NFL. Just looking at her, she looks like she could play football to me. Serena Williams was the one that popped into my head, so... she's strong and athletic I could see her playing football.
Oh, both the Williams sisters could probably be slot receivers and probably be fun, be really, really good at it.
Well, I'm going to go a little outside the box with this one. Yes, she's an athlete, but not your traditional athlete. In the WWE,
Where you're going to go, and you're probably brilliant for it.
With Rhea Ripley, I think that there's some guys that she could take out. In the WWE, I think she could hold her own, you know, almost, I think, like 5'9", 5'10", something like that. She's muscles on muscles on muscles. And I think if there's anybody, I think, you know, that anybody that takes those bumps, if there's going to be any shot of doing anything in the NFL, it's going to be somebody who's willing to put their body on the line.
Yeah, two things about that. First of all, women's wrestling has changed a lot since the Hulk Hogan Macho Man days of what women's wrestling was back then versus what it is now. And regardless of the fact that it is like 90% choreographed, if you ever think those people are not athletes, you are insane.
Exactly.
Like, first of all, I feel bad for them, the shape they have to keep themselves in. That sounds miserable. But like, to be able to do the crap they do and not get hurt, no less, they are absolutely athletes. That's the end of our listener questions, though. So let's jump up to Trade Addicts Trades, where we actually have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 5. It's been a while since we had this many without having to beg for them.
I know.
So Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for Trade Addicts 1. Jimmy Garoppolo for Gabe Davis. Just happened. Dustin, knock it off. We're trying to record a show.
is that the same guy that had it like as we were starting the show as well?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Like the 17 picks.
Dustin is trying to push in to compete, and Trader Joe is trying to completely rebuild and hence getting a young wide receiver instead of Jimmy Garoppolo. But also, we'll also get to them in a little bit. But first, we're going to start with Trade Addicts 1. This one, I stared at this when it came into our email, and I stared at this as I was typing it, and I'm still not completely sure how I feel. So Trade Addicts 1, it's Kyler Murray. I wrote down Tree Higgins.
I know. I saw Irvin that. Higgins. I hope you left it.
For Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, and Dallas Goedert. So one more time. Kyler, T. Higgins, Irv Smith for Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, and Dallas Goedert. If this was one of those things where if Kyler Murray were healthy, I'd take the Kyler side easily. Maybe also just because it's T. Higgins and that's me.
Tree Higgins, you mean.
Tree Higgins. Sorry, that's his brother that he has a mustache. but Jay, how do you feel about this one? Like, try and break this down for me so I can actually know how I feel about it.
So for me, I'm throwing out Irv Smith. I'm throwing out Zeke. They're kind of the same value, different points in their career, but you're basically taking a dart throw with both of those guys. So it's Dak and Goddard, Kyler and T. Higgins. And honestly, it's pretty easily for me the Tree Higgins and Kyler Murray side, even if I know he's still banged up, but they're talking about maybe week one. I don't think it's going to be week one for Kyler, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him play in the first 6 weeks. And I'm concerned about the Cowboys offense with Mike McCarthy, you know, wanting to run the ball like he did in Green Bay. I'm like you. I'm a big Tree Higgins fan. I love everything that the Bengals are doing. I want Kyler over Dak long term, and it's not even close with T and Goddard. While I like Dallas Goedert, it's not close between those two for me.
I basically agree with. Excuse me. Well, I basically agree with everything Jay said. It's pretty easily that side for me. I've been saying, you know, buy Kyler all non-point scoring season. And yeah, there are definitely, Frank also mentioned in the chat, just like Jay said, Kyler is supposed to be ready for week one.
Wow. I am so stuck on this. Like, first Brock Purdy is going to be ready to start, and now Kyler is going to be ready. Injuries just don't matter anymore. This is what you're telling me.
Russ. Yeah, medicine's advancing miles every year. But anyway, even if it's not week one, I think it's going to be fairly early, and I think he plays most of the season. And yes, Kyler Murray to me is way above Dak Prescott if both are healthy and playing. So, you know, just the rushing ability, passing wise, I think he's, you know, just as good, if not better than Dak. So, and yeah, give me, I think Tree and Goddard is a little closer than Jay does, especially in the 1.75 premium.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, but I think I still lean Tree Higgins there. So, and like you said, I agree. Irv Smith and Zeke Elliott are both whatever at this point.
See, I'm very glad I have this space right over here in between my T. Higgins jersey poster and my Batman SNES tape, because now I need to make something for Tree Higgins and put it right here. I'm with you because that's really where I've wanted to choose, and I don't know what's been holding me back. Like, I like Prescott. He's a not fun Kirk Cousins that costs more. Like, is that weird?
Like, boy, sounds great.
But like, good for fantasy. Like I'm concerned ceiling wise for the Cowboys offense a little bit, but not that much.
He also used to, before the ankle injury, used to do a little bit with his legs.
Which we used to get those six touchdowns every year. Yeah. But no, I'm going to take the Kyler side. Yeah. Plus I have feelings about Goddard right now. The fact that I can't even get a first for him in TA11 is making me want to cry. I did that before when I was talking to John about it. It's a first and a second. I couldn't get a first and a second for him anywhere. And in a 0.7 premium, not being able to get a first and a second for Goddard is ridiculous.
I was just going to say, also on Dynasty Wall Street this week, go listen to it. Yeah. After you listen to this.
Can't believe, and I did the same mistake in both shows. So I'm consistent. That's what I'm sticking with. The next trade was TA3, Rashad Bateman for 24 second and third. It makes me sad, but I get it. Like, this is what Rashad Bateman's going to be worth. And I want the Ravens offense to be exciting so much that I would throw a second to get Bateman if I didn't want to spend a first on Flowers. You know, Bateman's very good. He has done well with Lamar. Of course, it's going to be a new offense, which, again, fingers crossed, will be just exponentially better. It can't get worse, right? It can't get worse. No. So, like, I'm cool throwing a second and third at Bateman. And inversely, if I have Bateman and I just don't care, I'll take a second and third and just walk away. So I'm good with this trade, both sides.
This is another one where I've been, maybe not as much as some of the other things I've talked about, but I've been kind of harping on this multiple times this non-point scoring season, that I think I like Bateman better than Zay Flowers. I think Bateman was a better prospect coming out. Mm-hmm. It hasn't gone great the first 2 years, but a lot of that is injuries. And again, the new offense, you know, maybe it's a little more pass heavy. And again, I think he's, you know, Andrews is always going to be the pass catcher one, probably until he's like 35. But in terms of the wide receivers, I think Bateman is going to, as long as he stays healthy, big if, I think he's going to easily be better than Flowers in his rookie year. So I think he's going to be better than people expect, and I would give up a second and third, especially if I'm competing and it's like my second and third.
Yeah.
I agree with Rocky here. I want the Bateman side. I get it. Like you said, Russ, like I understand, you know, taking the second and third, but it's not enough for me with the upside, with what this offense could be. You know, Bateman could be the wide receiver one, not going to be the pass catching option number one, but you know, if Todd Monken is able to open up this offense, the chemistry that he's shown with Lamar, you know, he was absolutely killing it at the beginning of the year last year before he got hurt.
And then when he came back, it was Tyler Huntley, and that just didn't go well for anybody.
Not
for anybody.
All right, so here's where the madness starts to come in. This is another trade between Dustin and Joe, where Dustin is starting to push all of his chips in, which I hate because I came in second place, so I just want to win TA3 this year. And Joe, who's trying to completely rebuild his team. So the trade we have, all right, get ready, because there's a lot of players involved in this one. Nick Chubb, David Montgomery, Tony Pollard, Deebo Samuel, and for some reason a 25 third.
Why not?
For Zach Charbonnet, Treylon Burks, a 24 first and second, and a 25 first. All right, one more time. Nick Chubb, David Montgomery, Tony Pollard, Deebo Samuel, 25 third. For Zach Charbonnet, Treylon Burks, 24 first and second, and a 25 first.
I think what you just said describes it perfectly.
Yeah, I keep looking at it and I can't decide. What? Yeah.
All right, so Nick Chubb for 24 first and second. Tony Pollard for a 25 first. So David Montgomery, Deebo Samuel for Charbonnet and Burks.
Yeah, it's pretty even. It just depends on the needs of the team. You know, if what it sounds like to me is the team that traded for Nick Chubb and Pollard has a need at running back and is trying to win this season, because they're two guys that could finish as top five running backs for fantasy purposes this year. And I'm still a fan of Burks this year and long term. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a fair deal. I would lean towards the Burks and the pick side, just because there's more long-term value. But if you're cashing all your, you know, cashing all your chips and trying to win a championship this year, it makes sense.
Yeah, like that's really what it comes down to. Like, I want to take the players because that's a lot of fantasy points, but there's a chance that after this season, none of those players are worth anything. And that's rough. Like, yeah. If you, okay, but of course, if you win, it's worth it.
Right. Oh, yeah. Flags fly forever. You do what you got to do to get that championship.
That's a risk, and it's super early to do that.
Right. So I'd like to see if it's like in week 12, 13, 14, something like that.
Yeah. Like when you hit week 7 and half your players have a bye week, but you have like a 5-2's record, you're like, all right, nope, I'm going all in. You do this. And yeah, absolutely. But it's, I saw it and I'm like, all right, good for Joe. He got rid of all those players he wanted. And I think he got a great deal. And then I'm like, Justin, I hate you. You better back the hell off. You beat me this season and I'm kicking you out of the league. I didn't say that to him. So Justin, if you're listening, you better watch out.
I get what both of you are saying. I think I actually lean the players, like the older players side. That's part of it. But also there's a chance, like, unless you trade the 24 first and 25 first for veteran players, there's a chance everything on the other side is nothing too. Like, not value wise, but that you, unless you trade them for proven players, all of the everything on that other side is risk. Like, there's nothing there that is set in stone.
Yeah, but after the season, a 25 first is going to be worth. That's all I was saying is there's a chance dynasty value.
But it's worth getting another player. Yeah, maybe you can get a younger player than a lot of these guys here. But that's what we're talking about. If you're not just talking about it as a pick, you're talking about using it to get players to get points, which is what he's doing. So. I'll take the player side. I think the value's pretty fine. And I'm not, unlike you two, I, even before the Hopkins signing, was not a big, I was not as big on Burks as I think you two are. So I think that makes it, I'm probably higher on Charbonnet than you two are, but I'm lower on Burks.
It's fine.
Yeah. but there's definitely a chance Charbonnet is just, you know, the 1B and never really, I don't believe this is going to happen. I think it'll be more equal, or maybe even Charbonnet outpaces Walker. But it's definitely possible in the range of outcomes that he's just like a, you know, a 1B and never really is somebody you can depend on in your lineup. So I'll take the points, and it's a, like you said, a lot of points, and hope I win this year.
Yeah. The next trade, again, Dustin going all in. DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, Tyler Lockett, and Tyler Higbee. You don't put two Tylers next to each other when you're writing this out, Rocky. Don't
try to out that. Out.
So DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, Tyler Lockett, Tyler Higbee, two 24 seconds, a 25 second, two 25, the rest of it's thirds and fourths. It just doesn't So two 24 seconds and a 25 second, a couple of thirds and fourths between 24 and 25 for Nuke, Kirk, Lockett, and Higbee. Like, that's like, I get wanting to get off of the older players, but like, I don't think this is how you do that. Like, this is the players.
Yeah, it's not even close.
I understand it is probably difficult to get one for one deals of these players. Like, give me a second for Nuke, give me a second for Kirk, give me a second for Lockett, maybe a second for Higbee, like two thirds for Higbee. You know, I'll put that one out there. Sure. Fine. So like, I get that you probably need to package this together. And when you package that kind of stuff together, sometimes it turns into a little bit of a discount. This is too much of a discount. Like, this is the players, because it's really hard to do anything with 25 thirds and fourths, you know, eventually. Yeah. Like, you could do enough with seconds, where if we were just talking a lot of seconds, then I get it.
Right. One first, you have enough dart throws and, you know, boom, you know, it's worth it.
Yeah. But this is the players. And again, when you're trying to, like, a team that I don't even know who Dustin had before this, but right now he is walking away with Nick Chubb, David Montgomery, Tony Pollard, Deebo Samuel, DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, Tyler Lockett, and Tyler Higbee. I don't know who his quarterbacks are, but that's the rest of the lineup. And it's not a bad one. Like, that's a good lineup. Besides, like, I'm sure he has someone on his team that made him think it was worthwhile to go all in. Like, and I'm not going to look, because it's just more fun to pretend. It's like, All right. So last trade on our sheet, trade attic 7, a 24 first. It's Rocky's 24 first for DeAndre Swift and Jeremy Ruckert. And I just threw Jeremy Ruckert in there, by the way, because if anyone did not watch the SFB Podathon, Sal Lido is good friends with the Ruckert family. He, you know, helped coach him through like elementary and peewee football and stuff like that. So like, I've just been getting Ruckert everywhere just to make Sal smile. So I threw him in there on this one. The even more fun thing about this trade was this got accepted like 5 days after I sent it. And like I said, I'm very honest with who I am. So that means if you know me, I did not remember this trade was offered at all. And then all of a sudden it's like trade completed. Ooh, nice. Hey, Casey and I did a trade. Wait, did I offer Casey something? Did she offer me something? What? Oh, yeah. And I said it on the, I think this was last week on the DLF trade show with Addison. I think I'm getting a little too into DeAndre Swift this year. Like, if Swift stays healthy and he gets, not, he's not going to be a workhorse. He shouldn't be. And we see that his body might not be able to handle it. But he doesn't need, if he can get 50, 60% in that Eagles offense, like, dude could be an RB1 kind of easily. Even if we just want to say points per game, if we're not saying he stays healthy the whole season. Like, my expectations for Swift are much higher now than they've ever been with him in the NFL before. And I'm talking rookie year expectations. Like, I think I'm getting a little too into him because I know a lot of people wouldn't pay a first for Swift right now. But I was also fine doing it, especially since it's Rockies, because I have faith that Rocky can put a roster together to make the playoffs, even when he has. I don't know how bad his NBA 7 team is.
I was just going to say, you have more faith in my team than I do.
Right, maybe I'll have to trade you some draft players so you can win an extra game or two.
I might get a quarterback also, but yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to give. I have something that will most likely be the 101. I have yours. And then I have Casey's, and I'm not giving Casey's pick back to her that easily because you don't do that. So I'm like, all right, I'll give Rocky's because if anything, Rocky will be able to put a team together to compete if he feels like it. And hopefully he'll feel like it. If not, I'll make him feel like it.
That's actually what started the whole tiff between you two. Yeah.
It's not. I don't think it's bad unless I try to make it that way, which I won't without my first. It's not bad enough to be 101, but I'm not sure it's good enough to be the sixth playoff team either. So that might be what you just traded for DeAndre Swift.
I mean, that does make it a little. And Jeremy Ruckert, come on.
Oh, that's true. Sorry,
Jeremy Ruckert. Future tight end star of the Jets, Jeremy Ruckert. I'm really into Swift, so I was cool sending a first, and to me, I was able to say yeah, it'll be in the middle somewhere. And I felt fine about it. Of course, it'll turn into Marvin Harrison Jr. and I'm going to want to cry.
But I'll try and make it at least 105 or 106.
I'm good with that. That, yes. Put it past the 4 and I'll be fine.
Okay.
So, Jay, what are your feelings on Swift this year? And would you pay a first for Swift?
I've been a big fan of Swift since he came into the league. I loved him in the Lions offense. I am a little concerned in Philly just because he's not going to get those checkdowns that he got in Detroit with, you know, Jared Goff throwing the ball. You're going to have a guy like Jalen Hurts who's more prone to, you know, tuck it and run with the ball or run those, you know, nice little quarterback sneaks where the entire team pushes them for that 1 or 2 yard gain.
Did you feel that?
That whiff of success when Jalen Hurts gets the first down every single goddamn
time. Annoys the living crap out of me, but I don't blame him. It's not against the rules.
Nope.
Then do it. Sorry, fix, you know, then change the rules. I just had to take a stab at Rocky. I wouldn't pay a first, but I get it because I still do believe in the talent of DeAndre Swift. Like you said, if there's any offense that he's going to be able to finish as an RB1, it's going to be the Philadelphia offense if he's able to stay on the field. So I wouldn't do it. I don't hate it, but just a little too rich for me.
Yeah, I mean, giving the context of where I think the first is going to be, I wouldn't do it. But if it was a late first, I would be willing to do that. I'm I wasn't actually as high when he first came into the league. Then I like loved DeAndre Swift. I completely flipped on him from where he was when I said he was overrated when he came in. And this point, I think I'm kind of closer to where Jay is than you are, Russ. I'm not super high just because I will say, and I listen to, you know, because I'm a fan, like I listen to a couple Eagles podcasts. Nick Sirianni has tended to, I think people still think of the Eagles as a running back rotation type team. Miles Sanders got a lot of
rushing
for his game. Yeah. And it was a large share of the workload. So I do think that's what you could see with Swift. I don't think that's going to be Penny. So I am just worried again about the receiving work, but I do think he's probably high end RB2. I'd more want to play it late first for that. And I don't think mine's going to be late. Sorry, Russ.
I didn't say late. I said mid.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking you're overpaying a little bit with mid. So
I'm good with mid. That's all that matters. All right. Well, I mean, on that note, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. Before we do head out, I will give Jay, why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do, because I did not do that in the beginning.
Yeah, no worries. I've been on here enough. Probably the audience knows me. But if not, G-Man Jay on Twitter. I'm part of the team over at Front Yard Fantasy. We have our game show Monday. Russ, you were just on here recently. Rocky, we got to get you back on soon too.
I know. I think it's been like over a year since.
Has it really? Well, yeah. We stopped doing every day for a little bit. Yeah. And then now we just picked that back up. So I'm going to hit you up. We'll get you back on, but, play games Monday through Friday, 3 PM Eastern, the fantasy football game show, you know, mix a little bit of old school game shows like Jeopardy and, Wheel of Fortune with fantasy football. Just have a lot of fun. We just recently had a rebrand, so check us out on Twitter, @FrontYardFYF. We're really excited about that. We got a bunch of content coming out. We still have some more surprises up our sleeves. And I've got some surprises up my sleeve as well that I can't really talk about just yet, but I got some stuff coming out soon as well.
Now I'm excited. It's just you and me. What's going on? We won't
tell anyone, Jay.
Whisper.
Oh my God!
All right, everyone. Well, at that point, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can hang out with us while we record. You know, Frank and Roman, you know, talked with us the entire time, letting us know their comfort shows and movies, and Roman saying that he wants the tree side also using the tree emoji. So yes, I'm absolutely going to make Tree Higgins a thing now. Not sure if it's going to be an actual tree wearing a Higgins jersey or if it's going to be T. Higgins with a mustache and tree.
I think you have to work Tree Higgins into the title of the episode now.
Don't make me be creative. All right, I'll download it tomorrow and I'll figure it out then.
Partridge in a pear, Tree Higgins.
I can say that will not be the title.
Good. Because I was instantly embarrassed after I said that because I was bad.
It wasn't great, but not, you don't have to be embarrassed.
I regretted it.
When someone brings it up to you tomorrow, yeah, maybe you get a little embarrassed about it. That's fine. yeah, but that's all we got nowadays. So on that note, night, everybody.
Night,
Ralph. Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.